Today we are wrapping up a series called One. Back on January 3rd, we started this series talking about how oftentimes in Scripture we see God using one person to make a difference, to accomplish His purpose. We looked at John the Baptist and how his purpose was clear, his message was convicting, his actions were clear, and his attitude was changed, and how we can apply that to our own lives. The takeaway that day was this: how do you want to make a difference this year? And we started off the new year. It's a great time for resolutions, for making decisions in your life, that sort of thing. How do you want to make a difference this year? Well, the next week we followed up on that same concept, talking about the decisions we make. We looked at three individuals. We looked at a young Jewish girl who served the wife of Naaman, a military leader. We looked at Elisha. We went back and looked at Elisha's earlier profession as a farmer, and we looked at decisions they had made. We talked about not missing opportunities in life, not being stubborn, allowing God to work in us, not being fearful. The takeaway that morning was, what is one decision you need to make to get closer to God this year, to be a better follower of Jesus Christ? The third week, we talked about prayer, and we walked through the Lord's Prayer together, and we talked about leveraging your connection with God, because God is your Father. About embracing God's agenda, about asking God to provide the resources so that you can carry out His agenda. We talked about asking for forgiveness from God and seeking forgiveness between you and someone else when there's been wrong done. We talked about getting rid of sin in your life, how important it is to stay connected to God, and sin in our life can wreak havoc there. The challenge that day was to pray through the Lord's Prayer that week. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the importance of inviting someone to know Jesus Christ. We walked through Romans 6:23, and we talked about how, you know, where we find ourselves when we start out is the wages of sin is death. That's where we are. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We walked through kind of on a napkin how you could lay that out over a coffee or sitting in a restaurant or in your breakfast nook, something, how simple that message is to communicate to someone else, but how important it is. The takeaway that day was, is this a message that you need to hear and accept, or a message that you need to share? Finally, last week, we talked about the necessity of one day of rest from work, from other things, one day of rest to spend time with family and friends, how Sabbath makes us more human, how the Sabbath makes us more productive, how the Sabbath makes us more connected. We looked at Jesus' invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and tired and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. The takeaway last week was, how do I unplug? How do I refuel? What do I need to amputate? Ironically, this last week, I actually worked part of my day off because it was one of those weeks. I told you, you know, I understand some weeks you're going to need to do that, but consistently find a way to take a day off each week to spend with family and friends. Today, I want to talk about one vision. I want to share some of the challenges that we faced over the last year. I want to share about some of the opportunities God is putting before us as we move forward. In Proverbs 29, verse 18, the Bible says this: where there is no vision, the people perish. It is our vision at Northeast that moves us forward. Our vision that motivates us to action. It's our vision that gives us confidence to take great risks for God. Our purpose, you can find it in your bulletin, as we've been communicating that over the last year, is to love God, love people, make disciples. Today I want to explain that concept a little more clearly, a little more practically, if you will. We want to, first of all, win people to Christ. We want to train believers to become disciples, and we want to send disciples to impact the world. That world may be across the street, it may be around the corner, it may be in your workplace, it may be around the world altogether. But our vision, our purpose is very similar to Jesus, and this morning I want to look closely at His vision and strategy to impact the world. If you have your Bible, open up to Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. We're going to start with this first concept: win people to Christ. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Jesus did not invite his followers to be involved in meetings. Jesus didn't invite them to be a part of just some group. He invited them to be a part of a transformational community, a cause that would change the world entirely. Now, these people were busy men. They had jobs like you and I do. They had stressful jobs. Some of them had families. I'm sure they had hobbies. I'm sure many of them were involved in the community. I know eventually some of them were involved in political action. But when Jesus called them, he called them to something entirely different, something significant. So vital they would leave their jobs, leave all of that behind, and follow him. The purpose of his mission, of Jesus' mission, was outward focused. The mission was to take the gospel to the whole world. Inward focused visions rarely survive long term. I want to say that again. Inward focused visions rarely survive long term. Our vision as a church must be outward focused. Here's what naturally happens in a church. A church gets started, and as it grows, they think, hey, we're growing, we have families, we need a nursery. And so they start a nursery. Hey, we're growing, we need a children's ministry, and so they start a children's ministry. They start a youth ministry, they start a college ministry, they start Bible studies, they start all of these ministries, which are great things. They're phenomenal opportunities, they're going to help grow people up, but many of those are inward focused. Somehow, some way, we've got to continue to be outward focused as well. The church does not exist solely for itself. The church exists not only for its members, it exists to impact the world for Jesus Christ. In essence, the church exists for people who are not yet part of the church. Now, not everyone would accept Jesus' mission, his vision. Not everyone would do so. Some argued, some refused, some would begin to follow, only later on to step aside because the costs were too great, the teaching was too difficult, and they walked away. But then some would give up everything and follow Jesus. And those who did so literally helped him change the world. And so what's it going to take for us as a church to win people to Jesus Christ? First of all, if you're taking notes this morning, we need to be obedient. Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 4, follow me. And the Bible says immediately they left their nets and followed him. All of us as Christians know we have a responsibility to follow him, to share our faith. Unfortunately, very few do so. According to Barna Research, 57% of low-income Christians shared their faith in the past 12 months. 52% of upper-income Christians shared their faith with someone over the last 12 months. 37% of middle-income Christians talked to anybody about Jesus this last year. You want to put those numbers together, and that's roughly 5 out of 10 Christian people shared their faith with someone this last year. We're never going to reach this valley for Jesus Christ that way. Knowing what we're supposed to do is one thing, but doing something is another altogether. And so that's why those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ have got to take his mission, his vision seriously and recognize it is an outward focused vision. We have to be obedient. Number two, we need to be intentional. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. But these guys' occupation was catching fish. And he says, we're going to intentionally make some changes here. Friends, once you get a vision, once you understand, once you grasp God's vision in your life, then nothing can stop you. That's all you'll ever think about. Maybe in a scary sort of way. But you'll get up in the morning thinking about how you can fulfill God's mission in your life. We need to be intentional. So how can you be intentional? Well, here's one thing. Maybe you can get up in the morning and pray for the people that you're trying to win to Christ by name. And we say, well, you know, I'm going to pray for my neighbors. That's probably not good enough. I'm going to pray for my coworkers. That's probably not good enough. I'm going to pray for my family. You know, that's probably not good enough. I would challenge you to pray for the people by name. Put a face with a name. Be specific. Be intentional about who it is you're trying to reach with the gospel. Second, look for divine opportunities to be interrupted. And you know what that looks like. You're headed to the mailbox or you're making your way through the grocery store and up comes that person. And you're thinking, man, I'm busy. I've got so much to do. I need to get going. Look for divine opportunities, interruptions, when you can say, hey, you know what? This is more important right now. I need to have this conversation. I need to continue to build my relationship with this individual. Jesus was phenomenal when it came to taking advantage of interruptions. He didn't necessarily go out of his way to meet people all of the time, but he made himself available to everybody he crossed a path with. So be obedient, be intentional. Third, be strategic. What do I mean by that? Well, every fisherman is strategic. I went fishing a few years ago. Honestly, I think it was the wrong time of the year. But a good friend of mine from church here took me down to Delta. We fished on the Gunnison River, had a great time, got a sunburn, and that was about all I got. But you're strategic when you go fishing, right? You fish with the right bait. You set your depth at the right depth. You account for different types of fish, perhaps, or what they're eating at different depths. You're strategic. We need to be strategic. Well, what do you mean? Well, we need to figure out who it is that we're trying to reach, who's going to be most receptive, what their hobbies are, how I can build a relationship with them, what types of things they're doing, and when they're doing them, how I can build a relationship with them. Who is more receptive? Is it children? Is it the teenager? Is it mom? Is it dad? Here at the church, here at Northeast, we're trying to be very specific, very strategic in who we're trying to reach. We realize that if we don't aim at anything, we'll probably hit it. If we aim at everything, we'll probably just hit a few things. So we want to be very specific, very strategic. You may have heard me share this before, but we want to reach the man so that we can reach the whole family. It does not mean that we don't care about the women. Not at all. That couldn't be farther from the truth, ladies. We have a women's ministry here. We have many opportunities for our ladies to be a part of our church. But research shows, statistics shows, that if you go after the father, 85% of the time you will get the family as well. Whereas if you reach the woman first, only 20% of the time do you reach the rest of the family. We take that statistic serious. And so we feel like the most effective way that we can reach the family is to make sure that men are welcome here, men are challenged here, men are convicted here. So guys, in the love of Christ, we're coming for you. Okay? And your friends, too. We want you to take seriously the calling God has on your life. The calling that God has designed you for. We want you to step up and lead as God has called you to do so. Just want to put a little plug in. I'm sure God doesn't have any preferences. But whoever puts the slides together can, right? So, yeah. This Tuesday morning, 6 o'clock, going to have a breakfast, men's breakfast at Denny's on Horizon Drive. Guys, if you're free at 6 a.m., just want to invite you to come over there. We're going to share breakfast. We're going to talk a little bit, have a brief challenge for the day, and then we'll go about our week. Be there if you can. We want to reach neighbors so that we can change our culture. I want you to know reaching your neighbors can be one of the most difficult things you do. I don't know why it is, but people are more apt to go serve food at a soup kitchen or go help at the homeless shelter or take a mission trip all the way around the other side of the world than they are to go across the street and build a relationship with their neighbor. I don't know why, but it is so difficult to do so. So we need to look at this long term. I mean, I know that we say things like, hey, invite somebody to church. Invite someone to your small group. That's true. But I want to challenge you, that might be the fourth or fifth step. First of all, you need to build a relationship with them. If you go to your new neighbor and say, hey neighbor, I know we don't know each other yet, but we're having a Bible study, why don't you come over? That's maybe the last time they talk to you for a little while, unfortunately. Hey neighbor, some amazing things are happening at our church. God is moving there. Why don't you come join us? That may be the last time they talk to you in a while. Build a relationship with them first. A year ago, last January, we started off the year talking about living life on mission. We talked about kind of picturing it as, you know, you meet someone at the gym or in your neighborhood and you invite them over for a barbecue. Just invite them over and get to spend time with them. Build that relationship. And eventually, over time, you will earn the right to be heard differently. You will earn the right to speak into their life differently. And so the first step is to build a relationship with them. We want to reach our neighbors so that we can, in effect, change our culture. Thirdly, we want to reach the younger generation so that we have a future. Statistics would also tell us that 43% of people who accept Jesus do so before age 13. 64% of people who accept Jesus as Lord and Savior do so before 18. Therefore, our church invests in children's ministry, in youth ministry. Statistics say that young people will oftentimes leave the church, leave their faith after they exit high school. When they graduate from high school, which is also code for probably leaving home, oftentimes, sadly, they will leave the church as well. We want to do a better job there. There's a book written by the title of Emotional Maturity. And the author makes observations in there about how today's 26 and 27-year-olds have the same emotional maturity of a generation ago's 18-year-olds. I don't say that to offend anyone. I'm barely a little older than that age range myself. But it's research that has been done. Young people oftentimes are floundering in their faith, and we want to work better in that area. So this year, we're going to be more focused on reaching the 20-year-olds and helping them understand who God is and grow in their faith. So how are we doing at winning people to Jesus Christ? How are we doing? Well, we kind of want to grow about 10% every year in all areas of our church. This last year, we baptized 7 people. I thought it was more than that. In fact, I think I recently shared it was more than that. But when I got to looking back, no, we've had a few this year to start things off. But last year, we had about 7. That's less than the year prior. The year prior, in 2014, we had 12. So we need to work better at that. Now, on the other hand, attendance is up. Attendance has increased about 10% this past year. We're averaging about 210 people on a Sunday morning. The peak last year was the Sunday right before Thanksgiving. We had 230 people here. One of our elders said, we need to start serving food on every Sunday. That will get people here. Because that was the day we had our Thanksgiving meal, right? I was just joking, of course. But you serve food at church or have kids, little kids on stage, you're going to get more people to church that day. Attendance is up. Things are happening. God is moving here. Secondly, besides winning people to Christ, we want to train believers to become disciples. Look what Jesus does in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Again, Jesus, and he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. And they get sent out shortly after this. Well, let's skip over to Matthew chapter 17. There's a point where they come back together later on. But Matthew chapter 17 talks a little bit about some frustration here. Verses 19 and 20. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? They were trying to cast out a demon and they couldn't do it. And he says to them, because of your little faith. Because you don't have faith. I don't know about you, but do you ever feel like you need more faith? I do. I can relate to the disciples' frustration. They've been following Jesus for some time. They've watched what he's done. They've listened to his teaching. He's given them power to do things. And yet he sends them out on a mission and there's a point where they fall short. I've been a believer in Christ for over 27 years. I've been a missionary and a pastor for over 15 years. And there are still times that I know I continually fall short of what Jesus expects of me as a disciple, as a follower. All of my prayers are not answered. I often feel inadequate in my faith, but I truly want to be a follower of Jesus Christ as he wants me to be. And so this year, we're going to give a lot more attention as to how do we grow people up? How do we mature disciples in their faith? How can we do a better job of that? And so the first thing, let me give you a few suggestions. One of the things is this, do an assessment. Do an evaluation, kind of a benchmark. Put a stake in the ground and say, you know what? It may not be pretty, but this is where I am. This is where I am spiritually right now. Figure out where you need to grow. And so we're going to be putting together an assessment to help you do that this year. Secondly, develop an action plan. This is what Jesus does. He sends out his disciples to do ministry. Gives them specific instructions. Drive out evil spirits. Heal the sick. Preach the gospel. You know, we have all kinds of action plans to lose weight, to get in shape, to get our finances in order, life coaching, different things like that. Do you have an action plan for your spiritual life? What is your spiritual action plan in 2016 to grow? Are you going to read the Bible this year? Are you going to incorporate a daily quiet time? Are you going to find a place that you can serve? Are you going to trust God with your finances? Thirdly, we must determine the accountability. This is where I think most of us fall short. We have good intentions. We may even incorporate some things into our life from time to time. But I think we oftentimes fall short when it comes to accountability. Jesus followed up with his disciples after their ministry mission. He shared with them things that they needed to do to get to the next level. They said, hey, why can't we do this? And he says, it's because you don't have enough faith. You haven't been trusting me enough and been obedient enough. I want to ask you this morning, who are you accountable to for spiritual growth? We're accountable in other areas of our life, aren't we? I mean, in marriage, at our workplace, other situations. We're accountable with our bank. I mean, we're accountable in a lot of different areas in our life. Who are you accountable to when it comes to spiritual growth? Are you involved in relationship with other people here in the church who will help encourage you and help you grow, help you get to the next level? The good news is this. This past year we had 7 active Bible study groups. Whether it was Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night or Thursday morning or Saturday afternoon, there were 7 different small groups of people meeting together in our church to encourage one another, to do things together, to study the Bible together. 7 different groups. The bad news is there are over 60% of our people in our church that are not involved in any kind of small group Bible study whatsoever. Friends, I want to tell you, with a church this size and as it continues to grow, you're going to have to find time to meet with other people in the church. A small setting where you can grow and ask questions and encourage one another and hold one another accountable. You are going to go through something, or more than one thing, this year where you're going to say, I wish I had someone involved in my life right now that could help me through this, that could go on this journey with me. My experience as a pastor is that most Christians don't have any kind of spiritual action plan whatsoever. We just kind of, we set the cruise control and we just kind of ease through life. Well, this month, we're going to be contacting every member here at the church for 3 reasons. We're going to contact you on the phone. The first one is this. We want to ask, okay, what can we pray for you about? What's going on? What could we pray for you about? You or your family, or what situation is it that we could pray for you about? Second, we want to remind you the theme this year is one. Everyone matters to God. Everyone matters to us as a church. Sometimes as we grow, it's easy to think, well, they won't miss me. They don't need me. They don't need my involvement. They don't need me serving there. Everyone matters. We want you to know that. Third, we want to make you aware of Easter Sunday this year. I know you're aware Easter Sunday is the end of March, or maybe you weren't aware of that, but it is. It's right around the corner. This year we're going to do something a little bit different. We are going to have a sunrise service at 6:50 a.m., because that's, I think, when sunrise is this year, on that March 27th. We're going to have a 9 a.m. worship service, one worship service together. And then at 11 o'clock, we've rented a shelter down at Long's Park. If you have a family tradition on Easter Sunday, then please go do that. But if you don't have something written in stone, we'd invite you to carve out some time and join us at Long's Park after worshiping here at 9 o'clock. We're going to have a huge Easter egg hunt. We're trying to get about 2,000 eggs. The other staff think I'm crazy, but I think it just might not be enough anyway. So we'll see what happens. But we want to give you an opportunity to get together and celebrate Resurrection Sunday, have fun together, and get to know other people in our church. Get connected a little bit better. Third, we've talked about how we want to win people to Christ. We want to train believers to become disciples. Third, we want to send disciples to impact the world. Matthew 28. You probably know the verses, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." If you write in your Bible, underline, "Go therefore," or your version might say, "Therefore, go." Underline, "make disciples." Rick Warren said this, "A great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will make a great church." That's a lot of greats, but I believe it's true. A great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will make a great church. We show our love for God, we show our love for people when we share Jesus Christ with them. Our effectiveness as a church is not in how many people we get to attend our services on Sunday morning, but it is in how many people we send out equipped to change the world for Jesus Christ. That's where our power comes from. Our effectiveness is determined by how many people we send into the marketplace or into the school or into the neighborhoods so that you're out impacting the community. Well, where is God sending you to make a difference? I want us to look at 3 areas real quickly where you can make a difference. Number one, make a difference in your church. How do you do that? I want to challenge you to make a commitment to serve consistently. Here at Northeast Christian Church, we have an incredible percentage of volunteers. About half of our people serve in some way or another throughout the month. That's over 100 volunteers in the church throughout the month who step up and serve. Why is serving so important? Well, maybe I hope you haven't experienced this, but if you're not serving anywhere, and all you do is come on Sunday morning, friends, church is probably not what it could be for you. When you're serving somewhere as well, and you're coming to serve and be a part of something, you see church totally different. Yes, it's an opportunity to come and worship. Yes, it's an opportunity to encourage one another. But when you're serving other people, the focus is on the other people. And you see church very, very differently. It comes alive for you. Secondly, make a commitment to make a difference outside your church. The word church means called out ones. It wasn't until the 4th century that word church began to be used for a place to meet or a building, that sort of thing. So it's not that we go to church, we are the church. Jesus says in his Great Commission, go therefore. It's not an option, it's a command. If you look at the original Greek, it actually translates more along the lines of, as you go, make disciples. Meaning part of us going as the church, going about our daily lives, is sharing Jesus everywhere we go with everyone we meet. As you go, make disciples. Sometimes I've used terminology incorrectly. I'm guilty of that. I know I've probably said it at one time or another in a private conversation, maybe even in a class. I don't know about up here. But I know I've said, hey, maybe someday God will call you into full-time ministry. That is not biblically correct. All of us are called into full-time ministry. The moment you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, the moment you confessed your faith, the moment you were baptized, friends, you were called into full-time ministry. That may be ministry in your workplace. It may be in your school. I mean, yes, we have different professions to put food on the table, put a roof over our head, provide for our families, that sort of thing. But all of us are called to full-time ministry. And so yes, you may be a student or a businessman or a nurse or a doctor or a teacher or a construction worker. That is your ministry. And the people God puts in front of you, as you go, share the love of Christ. Make a difference in your church. Make a difference outside your church. Thirdly, make a difference with your church. Well, how do you do that? Well, by your prayers. By praying for the missionaries that we support. You may or may not be aware of this, but every week in our program, we highlight one of the missionaries that we support, one of the organizations or churches that we support. Currently, we support different ministries in 7 different countries around the world. Last year, we budgeted and gave away just over $29,000 to those entities, those organizations outside of this church. Our goal is to be at 10% of our overall giving and tithes and offering, that sort of thing, of 10% of giving that away. We got to the end of the year and realized, hey, even though we budgeted this and we made that, we're a little short. So our missions committee is actually excitedly planning to give away another $4,000 here over the next few weeks to be at that 10% mark. 12 different churches and Bible college and mission organizations in 7 different countries around the world. And you might think, well, hey, that's great, but I'm not involved in any of that. Never been there. Friends, I want to challenge you. Not everyone can go. But everyone can pray for them. Everyone can give to support them. And so pray for our missionaries. Pray for our staff. Pray for the people that serve here in the church. This last year, again, I mentioned we want to grow about 10%. This last year we did grow over 10% in general giving. I want to say thank you to those of you who stepped up, who were faithful, who were generous with what God has blessed you with. As I said before, Proverbs writes that where there is no vision, the people prosper. Well, where there is no money, the vision perishes as well. Did I say prosper? I meant perishes. You know what I meant. Getting ahead of myself. Maybe it's the game. I want to encourage you to continue to give generously. 10% is a starting point, friends. It's a biblical concept. I also want to encourage you to consider giving online or in some automated form. My wife and I, we give through our bill pay service with our bank. Well, what do you mean? Well, just like many of you send off a check to XL Energy or another place through your bill pay, we send a check to the church every week. So, yes, I'm here every Sunday. But I got a lot going on Sunday morning. Get a little distracted sometimes, as you can tell. That's just automated. My income is fixed. Our income is pretty fixed. And we know this is what we want to give this year. And so that's what we do. Now, the downside of that is, and I know we have giving boxes in the back. Some of you might think, you know, I have never seen Seth put anything in that box. Our preacher doesn't even give here. Why should I? Friends, I want to tell you, we did. We gave over 10% last year to Northeast Christian Church. And besides that, you might be thinking, well, how do they collect any money? They never pass a tray. They never have an offering meditation. Well, you know what? It's given us an extra 4 minutes every week to share in a message together. So, I need 4 minutes extra to be long-winded. So we want to win people to Christ. We want to train believers to become disciples, and we want to send disciples out to impact the world. So what's the 2016 challenge before us? Our theme this year is one. And again, we want you to know that you as one matter to God. You matter to us. Every one of you is needed to pray, to serve, to give, to share. Again, because almost 90% of the people in this valley do not yet know Jesus Christ. I said again, we're going to be contacting every member this month. I hope that you'll be receptive of that phone call. We do. We just want to pray for you. We want to see where you're at and how we can best help you. Besides that, this year we plan on expanding our children's ministry, our youth ministry program. We want to see our church grow at least 10% in all areas. We're currently searching for a full-time youth minister. If I understand correctly, we typically have between 10 and 15 young people, students here on a Wednesday night for a youth group meeting. Last Sunday, I know that we had over 50 children between birth and fifth grade. That's a future there of a youth group and beyond. And so we need to continue to grow there. It is excitingly necessary. I wrote that down. I want to make sure I say that. It is excitingly necessary that we continue to put resources into our children's and youth ministry programs. We also want to grow our college age ministry. We hope to remodel our church building soon. Our method has always been, we're going to pray about it. We're going to trust God to open some doors. And if a door doesn't open, then maybe we'll step back. Let's take in some time to get that sort of thing together. But it's happening. Last year we budgeted $500,000 income with Kids of the Kingdom and our church. At the end of the year we had $508,000 total between the church and Kids of the Kingdom. You might be thinking, that's great news. We don't have to give anymore for a while, right? No, friends, that is allotted for that youth minister position, for remodeling the building and getting some things going there. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Please continue to give faithfully. From an asset stance, we're doing very well. This building and land is paid for. But this building, if you didn't realize, was built in the early 1980s. We need to do some remodeling here. So yes, giving was up, but so much is to be done. The Bible says in Ephesians 3, God is able. And it continues from there. But I want to stop for a moment and have you just say with me, God is able. Can we do that? God is able. God is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. We have asked God for some big things. We've taken some big risks. And yet God is moving here and God is providing, as long as we depend on the power that is within us, that God has put there. The challenges, again, are big. They're great. Everyone is needed. We want you to know you matter to God and you matter to us. So I want to give you three things for the takeaway this morning. First of all is this. Focus on this. Focus on one person I want to win to Christ this year. Maybe you know who they are. Maybe it will take you a moment. But write a name down. Put a name with a face. A coworker, a neighbor, somebody in your family. Put that name down. Number two, one area I want to grow spiritually. You might say, you know what? Hey, it's amazing giving was up, but it sure wasn't on my account. Maybe this year you need to step up and trust God more with your finances. Maybe you just need to say, hey, I'm going to serve this year. It's great that 50% of people are serving, but I need to get involved. Maybe you're one of the 50% of people who never shared their faith this last year. And you need to say, hey, I need some boldness. One area I can grow spiritually. Or this, one place I want to impact. Again, we are all called to full-time ministry. And so maybe you need to have boldness to impact your workplace or impact in your school or your neighborhood. Maybe for you it's hey, by the end of this year, I want everyone in my family to know Jesus Christ, or at least have heard the truth of the gospel message. I'm going to do my best to focus and make an impact in my family. That's the challenge that God has placed before us. It's a challenge I wanted to share with you this morning. It's a challenge I think is bold, but I believe that we could have a very incredible year here at Northeast as we step back and realize God is able to do immeasurably more than all we think or ask. It's going to take everyone. We're going to ask for big things. We're going to believe in big things, and we're going to trust that God is going to do big things here. Let's pray together.